Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This shall I say of the Lord, that He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. Because I have set my love upon Him, He will set me on high. Because I know His name, He will deliver me. He will be with me in the time of trouble. I will call upon Him, and He will answer me and deliver me and show me His salvation. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall hide me. He shall hide me. 1,000 shall fall at my hand, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all of my ways. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. First, I give honor to the Lord, the Most High God, and to Pastor Armstrong. Is he here? In his absence, well, to Lady Melanie Armstrong, God bless you, to our pulpiteers, and to the Women in White Committee, to the honorees, to my co-laborers in Christ. Last, but of course not least, my husband, Ronald Green, pastor of the Hickman Temple Church, and to the saints assembled in this place. I do greet you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We just thank God for this opportunity that He has given to me to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And to my co-laborers, I'm representing you in preaching the gospel on tonight. And may God continue to bless and keep you as you go forth in His ministry, declaring the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And to our congresswoman. Amen. To our congresswoman, representing the people of God, by the power of God, we wish God's richest blessings to be upon you as you continue to go forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's get into the word that God has given to us under the theme, just give God what you think He deserves. Look at your neighbor and declare the same. Just give God what you think He deserves. Amen. And I'll be reading from Psalms 29, reading the first and the second verse. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God, our Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we come before You, rejoicing in You, the God of our salvation. And we're praying, Father, that you would move mightily in this place. We're praying that a fresh wind would blow, oh God. Breath of God, breathe on these, your people. Breath of God, blow with your power and with your grace. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we're asking that you would do a miraculous work. We're asking that you would move supernaturally, oh God. We're asking that you would save, that you would heal, that you would deliver. We're asking that you would set the captive free. We're asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would loose the chains that have my sisters and my brothers bound in the name of Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus that I decree and declare that the word of God shall not fall by the wayside. It shall not be snatched up by the enemy. But I decree and declare that the word shall find its resting place and fertile soil, that it shall bring forth fruits of righteousness, fruits of joy, fruit of peace. In the name of Jesus, we thank and praise you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Give God what you think he deserves. In our churches or other organizations, you may receive an invitation to a banquet honoring someone special. The reason may be because he or she has been a member of the establishment for X amount of years. This person may be honored for being faithful, committed, their works that they have done. You may be honoring this person or these persons because they're always going an extra mile and does it so pleasantly. This person that they're honoring has been reliable, has been dependable down through the years throughout every task that has been given. So we accept the invitation because we want to go and celebrate with others, because we think that this person is well deserving of such an honor. It's giving honor to whom honor is due. And here it is in Psalms 29, written by David to those who were mighty. We don't know the circumstances in which this psalm was written, but we do know that David encouraged the people to give to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. The book of Psalms is a great collection of songs and praises that express the heart and soul of its authors. David and other writers poured out their true feelings, reflecting a life-changing relationship with God. They confess their sins, they express their doubts, they express their fears, they ask God for help in times of trouble. In this book of Psalms, there's praises and there's worship. And as you read the book of Psalms, you hear the writers cry out to God from the depth of their very being. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? I say to God, my refuge, why have you forgotten me? My God, why have thou forsaken me? In the Psalms, you hear the depths of their despair. God, why are you so far from saving me? God, I cry out to you day after day. Still, there's no answer. But we see in the Psalms, on the other side of the pendulum, we see a height of celebration. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits. pockets. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, who has forgiven me of all of my iniquities, who heals me of all of my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Psalms, a book of praise, a book of worship, a book of the true hearts of the authors. In delving into our theme, just give God what we think he deserves, requires us to look at who he is. In order for us to give him what we think he deserves, we have to look at who he is. So who is he? God is invisible. The Bible says that no man has seen him. He's a spirit, and he manifests himself by what he does. He's manifested himself through Christ Jesus. In John 14, Philip asked, "How can I know the Father?" And Jesus replied, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So if you want to give God what he deserves, we must know who he is. God is the creator. He spoke the world into existence. God is the Most High God. There is none beside him. God is the sovereign God. He can do what he wants to do, when he wants, how he wants, if he wants. God is Jehovah Jireh, who provides for us. God is Jehovah Shammah. He's always there. God is Jehovah Rohi. He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. God is Jehovah Gibor, for he is mighty. God is Jehovah Rapha, for he is our healer. We've got to know who God is. God is the God of mercy. God is the God of grace. He gives to us what we don't deserve. Not only that, he enables us to do that which he's called us to do. Who is this God? He's the God who sets the standard in righteousness, in holiness. He's a just God. Who is this God? He's the God of goodness. Who is this God who does good and is good? He's the source of our very being. If we're to give God what he deserves, we must know who he is. That he is the God of love. And he demonstrated his love to us by sending his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Who is God? Next, if we're going to give God what we think he deserves, let's look at these words, think and deserve. The word think, it means to have a conscious mind, to some extent, capable of reasoning, capable of remembering, capable of experiencing. When we're talking about the word think, it means to call to one's conscious mind, to be mindful of, To think means to be able to recall. It means to recount. The songwriter wrote, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I shout hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When I think, when I recall, when I recount, we see with the account of David in Samuel 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, he said when he was confronted with Goliath, he said that the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion is the same God that shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He remembered what God has done. And Jesus taught in 1 Corinthians 11:25 about the Lord's Supper. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So we have to recall, we have to recount what God has done. When we take up the Lord's Supper, we have to remember, we have to recount, we have to recall what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah explains it prophetically to us. He says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We're talking about we've got to remember what God has done for us. We have to recall how he divinely intervened in situations that we have gone through. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're talking about giving God what we think he deserves. When we are comforted through the hard times by remembering, by thinking on, by recounting God's help in the past, recalling God's miracles and previous works can give us courage to continue. To give God what we think that he deserves, we must recall. We must recount. We must remember that it was God who is with us. We have to remember that God provided for us. We have to recount that God delivered us. We have to recount that God made a way out of no way. So we're talking about, if we're to give God what he deserves, that we have to think. We have to think on those things. Our mindsets have to be changed. We have to think on ways he made out of no way. We have to think on that he's been good. We have to think on that he's my refuge. We have to think on that little has become much. We have to think on that we were nearly at death's doorstep, but God raised us up. We have to think of the riches of his mercy. We have to think, had it not been for him who comforted me, we have to think on him who gave me a peace that surpasses all understanding. We have to think on these things. We have to think on his love. We have to think that we was lost in sin. We have to think that while I was yet in sin, God saved me. We have to think on that he delivered me from the bondages of sin. We got to think. If we're to give God what we think, what we have recounted, what we have recalled, when we think, on these things, on what he deserves. What do you think he deserves? That word deserves, it means worthy of. That word deserve means what we owe him. That word deserves, it means what's rightfully his. What is rightfully his? So now my question is, what do you know that he deserves? Because of what you know he deserves, what do we owe him? What is rightfully his? David said in our text, give to the Lord the glory due to his name. The Lord who is mighty. The Lord who is powerful. The Lord who is full of majesty. This psalm is a psalm of praise. Praise that he is mightier than the storms of life. His great power over nature. What does he deserve? Look at your sister and look at your brother and ask them the question. What does he deserve? What does he deserve? He deserves our praise. He deserves a yet praise. Even though it looks dim, even though it looks bleak, yet will I praise him. I will praise him whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to offer to him who rightfully deserves it because I owe him. I will praise him. And when we get a concept of the power of praise, we as believers won't look as stoic when we come into the house of the Lord. We won't look as passionless. We won't look emotionless. We won't look mad and angry. But when I think of the goodness of God, I give him what he deserves. I give him the praise. Praise. He loves to hear our praise. He loves to hear. Hallelujah. He loves to hear. Glory to God. He loves to hear. Oh, glory. He loves to hear when we lift our voices in adoration. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Give him what he deserves. He loves to hear our praise. How good it is to praise. How pleasant it is to praise. How fitting it is to praise. Take your mind off of yourself and focus on what God has done for you. What he deserves, what he rightfully deserves, what I owe him is a yet praise. Hallelujah. I owe him. I owe him my praise because he looked beyond my faults. He looked beyond a wretch undone and saw that I was in need of a savior. So I give him what he deserves. So what does he deserve? What does he deserve? What does he deserve? Hallelujah. Give him what? We know that he deserves. He deserves our worship. David said to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So what is the beauty of holiness? The beauty of holiness is the Lord is holy. And what is beautiful about it is when we do so in purity, when we do it in sincerity, when we do it joyously. This is worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness. We worship Him because this is what He deserves. We give Him the glory. That word glory, it means the weightiness of God. It means that God is weighty. So when we worship Him, we're worshiping the weightiness of who He is. There's a difference between praise and worship. Praise is what He does. Worship is who He is. So when we worship Him, it's God, I adore You. I honor You because of who You are. That You are Jehovah. That You are God all by Yourself. I worship You because You are El Elyon, the Most High God. I worship You because You're Elohim, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I worship You, Adonai, for You are my Lord and Master. I worship You. I honor You because You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Give Him what He deserves. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. What does He deserve? What do we owe Him? In light of His goodness, what do we owe Him? In light of His grace, what do we owe Him? In light of His mercy, in light of His love, in light of His power, in light of His divine intervention, what do we owe Him for His faithfulness? What do I owe Him who brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light? What do I owe Him? Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. It's the least that we can do in light of His mercy. God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, daily laying down our desires to follow Him, putting all of our energy and resources to following Him. He deserves a life that fears Him. He deserves a life that fears Him. Not only should we dread Him, because it's an awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, but to fear Him, to reverence Him. What do we owe Him? We owe respect to Him. We owe honor to Him. And when we fear Him, we won't say anything we think we're big enough to say. We won't act in any way we think we can act, because we know that nothing lays naked before the true and the loving God. All things lay naked before Him. We owe Him respect? What do we give him? What does he deserve? He deserves a life that's yielded to him. He deserves a life that surrenders to his will. That we can say, not my will, but thine be done. He deserves a life that's committed to him. A life that desires to please him. What does he deserve? A life whose life is the goal to be Christ-like. He deserves a life that trusts him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In light of what he's done, in light of his love for us, in light of who he is, trust him. Pilots put confidence in their planes. Commuters place confidence in trains, in cars or buses. Each day we must put our confidence in something or someone. If we are willing to trust a plane or a car, can't we trust the true and the living God? Can't we trust the one who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Can't we trust him who said that I am with you? Can't we trust him who says that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his riches and glory? Can't we trust him? The Bible says, they that trust him shall be like Mount Zion. They that trust him shall be like Mount Zion. If we would but trust him, we won't be moved by the circumstances that we're going through, because we'll know that the trying of my faith is working patience. What I'm going through, it's working for my good. Trust him. He deserves our trust. He deserves a life lived out in victory. Give God what we know he deserves. What we know is rightfully his. And that's to live a life of victory. Jesus sacrificed. If we don't walk in victory, Jesus' death on the cross is all in vain. God sent his son to destroy the devil's work. He spoiled principalities, powers, rulers of wickedness. He made a show of them triumphantly on the cross of Calvary. Victory is ours, my sisters and brothers. It's recorded in Ephesians 2 and 6 that we're seated in heavenly places alongside of Jesus Christ, far above principalities, dominion, and might. We're sitting in heavenly places to walk in victory. So what is keeping us from giving God what we know he deserves? What is keeping us from giving God what he deserves? The answer is baggage. he deserves because of the baggage that we're carrying. Webster's dictionary defines baggage as a piece of luggage that you pack things into. But in this context of this point, it means objects, circumstances, or belief that get in your way. It's baggage. Look at your sister and brother, say it is baggage. Your baggage could be emotional brokenness. Your baggage can be emotionally unstable. Your baggage could be rejection. Your baggage can be insecurity. Your baggage could be unforgiveness. Your baggage could be bitterness. Your baggage could be rebellion and defiance. Your baggage can be confused sexuality. Your baggage can be fear. Your baggage can be guilt. What is in your bag? What is keeping you from giving God what he deserves? Baggage in any area in your life that is unresolved, that has been pushed deep inside and is hidden, is a hindrance not only to spiritual growth, but it keeps you from giving God what we know he deserves. What has conquered your soul? What have you allowed to bring you under the controlling influence and power of the devil? Have the faith to empty your baggage. In John 4, Jesus encountered a woman with a lot of baggage. Jesus confronted her and brought it to the surface. So how did she respond? She didn't deny the truth. She didn't try to hide it. But she opened her baggage to him. And she opened it because she believed that he was the Christ. She opened it because she believed that he was the Messiah. She opened her baggage to him because she believed that he was the one that came to heal the brokenhearted. She opened her baggage because she knew that he was the one with an anointing to proclaim liberty to the oppressed. Baggage. Get rid of the baggage. You can't give God what he deserves when you're dragging baggage, when you're dragging insecurity. You can't lift up hands without doubt or wrath when there's insecurity, when there's unresolved issues. God is saying tonight, get rid of the baggage. Look at your sister and say, get rid of the baggage. Giving God what he deserves puts us in a position to be blessed, because we see it in the 11th verse in our text. It says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. When you give God what he deserves, what is rightfully his. It positions us to a place of blessedness. It positions us to a place of peace and rest. When we give him what he deserves, it positions us to be strengthened. Won't you give God what he deserves? Hallelujah. Let's stand. And if you know that God has delivered you, if you know that God has provided for you, if you know that God loves you, that he provides for you, with a thunderous applaud, let's give him what he deserves. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Come on, give him what he deserves. If he's brought you out of the miry clay of sin, if he's given you a peace that surpasses all understanding, if he's opened doors that no man can close, give him what he deserves. Give him what he deserves. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We now, as we say in Christendom, we're going to open the doors of the church. And what that is an invitation to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus with your baggage, because he has said in his word, "Come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to Jesus. He'll give us peace. If there's one that doesn't know Jesus in the pardon of their sins, Jesus says, come. Jesus says, come. And there's another invitation, a second invitation. You may be struggling with some things in your life, and you desire prayer. The word says that much is accomplished through the prayers of the righteous. Won't you come and lay them down at the feet of Jesus? Hallelujah. Yeah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is there one who desires prayer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Is there one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy.
Is there something in your life that's keeping you back from praising God? If there's something in your life that's hindering you from worshiping, if there's something in your life that keeps you from living a life of trust, is there something in your life that's keeping you from committing yourself to Him? Is there any baggage in your life that causes great insecurities, emotional stability? Jesus says, come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God waits patiently. Hallelujah. Is there one who's hurting? Your baggage is your hurt, your disappointment. You've been rejected. You've suffered abandonment. You've suffered abuse. And you can't give him what he deserves. Jesus says, come. And I'm going to ask my sisters to come and assist us in prayer. In the name of Jesus, is there one? Is there one?